If you weren't around to do the kind of, I guess, recycling of some of these materials, what would happen to this stuff? They just dump it into a landfill?
They'd haul it to a landfill.
Or do they burn it up? What do they do?
They'd haul it to a landfill primarily.
Okay. And in these landfills, how many landfills do we have around this country?
Well, we have 5,757 landfills that are active right now.
5,750 landfills. How big are they, perhaps each one?
Well, they range anything from a million tons to a billion tons.
Okay, so now, but what does that look like if you were looking at a football field? You know, try to paint me a picture so I know how big these areas are.
Well, most of the areas are about 25 acres, and they go down about 300 feet into the ground. And when they fill these pits up, they end up about between 75 and 100 feet above ground.
And so they're full of all this stuff.
Right.
That they cover it up.
Yes, they do.
And then what do? They go off and find another spot to dig for a landfill?
And they ask people if they can build another landfill.
So we've got this. We've got these mounds of stuff all over the country.
All over the country.
You could take all these materials and come up with new materials that people could use for other sources.
When I started developing this technology, George, we looked at all of the different applications. We started working with municipal solid waste, daily collected garbage, and we started processing that down to see if we could make it biologically inert. Our process uses grinders to grind it down to about 3/4 inch size. Then we run it through a wetting tank. We saturate the material with moisture. Then we run it through a cryogenic chamber at minus 300 degrees. That imparts a very brittle characteristic to the material. If you could picture a rose or a rubber ball being dipped in a tank of liquid nitrogen and then dropped on the ground, it would be so brittle that it would shatter to a powder. And a lot of people across the country have seen that experiment done.
Barry, I don't want to get too graphic here, but you take municipal solid waste. Doesn't take a rocket scientist here to figure out what that is.
Well,
And you can turn that into building materials?
We turn that into a dry powder. It's a biologically inert powder. It resembles Portland cement.
And with that,
we add fiber to it, we add resins to it, and then we can press it or mold it into whatever shape we need it to go into.
Absolutely amazing technology. How did you come up with this?
Well, I started working with just daily garbage. And, you know, incineration doesn't work. It creates dioxins and furans and toxic ash and other pollutants that are totally unacceptable. So finding a replacement for that, we decided by reducing the triangle, which is the combustion triangle. You can either remove the fuel, or you can remove the oxygen, or you can remove the heat, and you won't have incineration. We decided that the easiest one to do would be to remove the oxygen, so we used nitrogen to create an environment where combustion could not occur.
Okay, let's say an entire house in New Orleans has been damaged, okay?
Okay.
If you take 100% of those damaged materials, the roof, the porcelain, the drywall, everything that fell apart when the hurricane hit, you take 100% of that house, put it through your system, what percent comes out?
Well, we reduced the volume by about 70%.
All right.
So if a ton of material went in, 300 pounds would come out.
300 pounds comes out. Well, that's still a pretty darn good savings.
It's
plus, you've eliminated the need for a landfill, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we don't want to have landfills in this country, and that's what the technology was developed to do, to replace landfills.
Could you go and take material that is in current landfills and do the same thing with it?
Yes, we have done that.
You can clean up the entire 5,750 landfills, technically.
Well, we're hoping to clean up more landfills than that.
How much of this can you handle?
Well, we can handle 1,000 tons a day with each of the machinery, each machine that we bring in. And we can bring in as many machines as they need.
So you're portable. You go to the material as opposed to the material coming out to you.
We go to the material on triaxle trailers. We bring them in with a semi-truck. And we drop them off at a location adjacent to wherever the material is. And then we have a processing crew. And in this case, we'll hire local people in those storm-damaged areas to do the work because they need to be able to rebuild their lives as well.
Now, this kind of reminds me of the old movie Soylent Green, when they used to process dead people and turn them into green wafers for food.
Yeah, I mean, saw that movie.
I mean, have you? I mean, what happens when we run out of space to bury people, Barry? Can you, like, recycle people and turn them into building materials?
I don't really want to go there.
That sounds like a yes.
Well, there are other processes that can be used for that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I don't blame you on
that. That's another show.
Yeah, that's another show, a late show.
A late show. But in this situation, though, I think taking the materials, you've got 90 million tons of debris, and it's scattered over an area about the size of the state of Maine. We can take the materials that are out there, and we can grind them up, whether they're trees or whether they're limbs or whether they're building materials or whether they're parts of houses. We can grind all of that material up.